lights tonight. Bright lights, high crowd, yeah, we need to throw down. Everybody get loud. Tonight's the night, A-list can't miss. When we burn it to the ground, everybody get down. Tonight's the night, we stay running while our faith kept rising. Stay running, now we on top. It's not something you get, it's just something we got. Cause I don't know if you know, if you know we playing or not. Tonight, lights flashing when we step in the place. And you can feel the raw excitement from the look on their face. It's like the prize right in front of my eyes. And the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big go, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from three, go, press X to reload. Yet they still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. Never an error on record, there's no one to protect you. And we would still be right here if all the money was burned. But we stay bumping in your ear cause the money was earned. Yo, you can find us climbing, setting the bar. Or you can find us red carpet when we hitting it hard. Cause the truth is you can find us wherever you are. Just look up, we're flying high with the stars. Cause tonight is the night. Bright lights, high crowd, yeah, we need to throw down. Everybody get loud. Tonight is the night. A-list can't miss. When we burn it to the ground, everybody get down. Tonight is the night. We stay running while our faith kept rising. Stay running, now we on top. It's not something you get, it's just something we got. Cause I don't know if you know, if you know we playing or not. Tonight.
Hello and welcome to the WWE edition of the Multimedia Men podcast that is certainly not booty. All right, I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest, and I'm joined by Tom Nix from San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Tom.
Good evening, everybody.
Excellent. And also, we're joined by our own Angela Keel from Boomstick Comics. Coming from South Texas right now, the CrossFit Queen, Angie, is here. Welcome, Angie.
What up, Buttercups? It's good to be here.
Good to have you. So, WrestleMania 32 is only a few weeks away. It is going to be the biggest event in WWE history, we hope, in Dallas, Texas. I assure we will all be there for the entire weekend. But let's talk about this last week's Raw. I would like to talk about first bringing up, let's see, where was my thing at? The first thing I want to bring up is the New Day, which if you watch WWE, my intro was very New Day-ish. I'm obsessed with them. Are you guys obsessed with the New Day?
New Day,
I can tell you, I am obsessed with booty. Oh, it's cereal.
Cereal. I've got to get that cereal box. I already got the socks already, but I need the cereal box.
It's hard for me to justify $35 on a cereal box because the shirt is booty in the bad way, booty. But at the same time, I kind of do need to have a Bootios box in my house.
It's so good. But I want to talk about the New Day, and I want to talk about the League of Nations. They just had a match on Raw, and they're actually slated to have a match at WrestleMania. The League of Nations is, of course, Sheamus, Alberto Del Rio, Rusev, and King Barrett. They started this sort of union, this faction, a few months ago, and up until on Monday, it seemed like the League of Nations just weren't going anywhere, but on Monday, they really seemed to form a tight faction and become like the evil heel. And New Day is like, we're supposed to be the heel, but now they're like a baby face right now. I'm very excited about that. And I want to know, first, I want to know Tom's thoughts, then Angie's thoughts on this. So League of Nations, New Day, Tom.
League of Nations, for the first time in their existence, actually got legitimate we are bad guy heat as opposed to we are a bunch of suckas heat. And that extended beatdown on the New Day really raised their stock for me. Because I like all those guys individually, every single one of them. But as a group, they've never really felt like they had a reason to exist. And they were unfortunately fed to the Roman Reigns machine for so long that they really kind of just felt like an afterthought, realistically, when you have a bunch of, you know, top tier or second tier heels that can all work in the ring. So while I really dislike the fact that WrestleMania has a lot of matches on it that have been a continuation of feuds that have already been going on, I'd rather they start some new ones or give us some matches we haven't seen before. this is the most interested I've been in the League of Nations, and I'm still I'll say the jury's still out on whether or not the New Day are going to be effective faces and not jump the shark, because obviously with that Edge and Christian segment at Fastlane, which we all know was the worst part of a donkey, kind of started their face turn. And while they've certainly while they're certainly improving from that catastrophic nightmare, but I want to see if they can maintain, because they really did have a good Edge as heels, even if half the audience was cheering them because they're actually making relevant pop culture references, as opposed to like the Mr. Magoo stuff that you normally get from Vince's writers. So like I said, I'm still on board with the New Day. I'm more on board with League of Nations than I ever have been, especially if they let those guys kind of like run loose and really wail on the New Day for a while. It could be a really good chance to really cement the New Day's faces, especially if they get an awesome WrestleMania entrance.
It will. And like the New Day, I think, will have an excellent time at WrestleMania. I think they're going to blow everybody out of the water. And with it being a 4-on-3 handicap match, there's going to be trombones everywhere. There's going to be unicorns everywhere. And hopefully everybody gets like the Bootio's cereal. I'm very excited. I want to give a
everyone
shout out
check
to every
your seats. We have 100,000 boxes of Bootio's cereal.
Achim, it stinks.
Not eating anything with the word booty on it. Even though I've been chanting New Day Rocks since before it was cool to chant New Day Rocks. Just throwing that one out there. But I totally agree that, you know, before Monday night, the League of Nations were just like, okay, we're here. We're here to be fed to make somebody else look good. I'm not going to talk bad about Roman because I still got mad love for the guy. But
don't worry, I got you covered, baby.
Yeah, so I still got mad love. But it's like they were put together to be fed and make Roman look strong. And now they look strong on their own. On Monday, and that was by taking out the New Day. And
you know what? And I think I don't want to see the New Day ever disband, but if they did, Big E is like that heavy level main eventer type status. I mean, so good, so good. But I'm excited. I'm glad what you said. League of Nations is, I think, going places, and I hope for our sake, King Barrett stays with WWE, because I know it was rumored that he was leaving after his contract was up, but it seems like they're finally getting their stride. And then I think maybe Tom, you and I talked on Twitter about Lana, Rusev's real life fiance, and on the show she might do something there. So I don't know, I'm excited for it, but let's moving on. Let's go to the Usos and Dudley Boys. Dudley Boys haven't really been around the last few weeks on Raw, but it looks like they'll have a match at WrestleMania. But I really hope Dudley Boys win. I don't want the Usos to really win at WrestleMania, because I love the Dudley Boys. They need to move up and get tag team champs, because they're old school.
That. I don't want the Usos, and it would have been also accurate.
Yeah. You could have just ended that with, I don't want the Usos. Me either. Sorry, I'm over it. I kind of lost my love of the Usos when they got Tag Team of the Year, and they weren't even really a tag team for most of the year. I'm like, what the heck did they do to win that Slammy?
Usos didn't deserve it. Never. No Usos. No. Daniel Bryan, no. There's no Usos. I want Dudley Boys. I want tables.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get tables because heel gods exist in this world, and they're not going to give you what you want, BK. I'm very happy with the Dudley Boys heel turn. I'm with you. I hope they absolutely decimate the Usos, because the all singing, all dancing crap of the world is boring as hell. And I agree with Angie. I mean, they're just not an interesting team. Ever since they came back from the injury, they've just been. They've just been a very repetitive, very bland, very white meat, very nothing team. And the Dudley Boys are ripping it up. And they're both, like, what? They've got to be early to mid 40s each. They're still kicking ass in the ring. They're still cutting awesome promos, and they're kind of being able to open up a bit and be a little bit meaner. So I'm very happy that the legacy run is over for them, and they're not just coming out with their glasses and their tables and their and that's it. I would like to, everyone listening, we are old enough to have lived through that Budweiser commercial.
Because now they can go back to being, like you said, not the gimmick team, not the legacy team, not the, this is why we love them. Why did we hate them in the Attitude Era? That's what I want them to show everybody. It's like, why did we hate the Dudley Boys? Because for a long time, in the Attitude Era, the Dudleys were one of the most hated teams.
And that's where they're going to now with, like, it's so funny that they turned heel, but they turned heel and not, like, attacking somebody, but with not doing tables anymore. That's so good.
That was a great, I mean, like, they're great when they beat people up, and they're still going to beat people up, but I really love that they're intentionally taking away the one thing that the casual fans know them for, which is their catchphrase. They're like, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. We're just better than you.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love it. So moving on Raw, if you missed it, Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar are fighting at WrestleMania. And who gave Dean Ambrose a gift on Raw? None other than the hardcore icon, Mick Foley.
That was beautiful.
So do you think Mick Foley is going to be a ref at WrestleMania between this match, possibly? Or do you think his storyline's over?
I actually think, if anything, I think we're going to see a lot of legend run-ins during the Undertaker-Shane McMahon match. Obviously, Mick cannot take a bump. He's not going off top of the cage or anything like that. But if his interference or his presence makes sense anywhere, it makes sense to be on the side of the underdog babyface who, you know, a non-wrestler, 50-year-old with 3 kids, you know, president of a media company, not a wrestler. If anything makes sense, like, I can see that's where Stone Cold might show up. That's where Mick Foley might show up. That's where The Rock might show up. Because I think at this point, and obviously we'll get into this in depth, adding people to the Roman Reigns match in the hopes that it will boost people's favor of him, I hope they've just written that whole idea out. And if they're going to use The Rock, Stone Cold, Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, I mean, anyone else they can get their hands on, all of those people have had programs with The Undertaker, and all of those people have had programs with Vince McMahon and hate him. I can see Shane McMahon bringing in a parade of, you know, old faces of the company to help elevate that match into, like, kind of like how the Sting Triple H match last year was a nostalgia fest. I feel like that's the match that's going to be the nostalgia fest for this year. So if he shows up, and I think he will, I think unless he shows up to, like, give a pep talk to Dean or something like that, I think that's the place I would use him.
All right. Angie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that Mick Foley is pretty much just in a talking phase. I don't think he's going to really be doing much other than what he just did.
All right.
Just pass the torch.
Well, hopefully he comes out. Hopefully
pass
he does
the
that.
Fire torch.
Yeah, the par, absolutely. And I've got to give a special shout out to Mark Walters, big fanboy from bigfanboy.com. He's listening live right now on Periscope with us right now, and he has an interesting story. He usually runs some of the Dallas comic book conventions here in town, and he got into the middle of the Stephen Amell Gold Dust fight there, and it supposedly all chaos happened. There was blood and sweat and tears. It was great. We'll have to have him on at some point. But, yeah, bigfanboy.com. He's pretty awesome.
I'm a big fan of that whole Stephen Amell Stardust thing. Cracks me up. I love it. I would love to see Stephen Amell in the ring again, but that's just me.
He was one of the better Stephen Amell was one of the better celebrity guest rings. He actually trained for it. So it was pretty sweet. Let's move on. Let's give a special get well soon to Neville, who fractured his ankle, and a kudos to Jericho for thinking quick on his feet like he always does and ended the match like he did. That was pretty spectacular. But unfortunately, it looks like Neville will not be at WrestleMania. That sucks.
At least 2 to 3 months.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But let's that happened on Raw. I know we have a few more Raws until WrestleMania. So in conjunction with that, I want to talk about the Shane McMahon and The Undertaker. Now, I know I talked about it with Adrian earlier, but I mean, I lost my cool when Shane McMahon came back. I've been talking about it for years. And
you lost your virginity when Shane McMahon came back.
Everybody lost their shit when Shane McMahon came back.
He is, absolutely. I was betting on Linda coming out on Monday, but not. But let's talk about this. So it's definitely Shane versus family right now. Shane versus his dad, and now the Undertaker is kind of siding with Vince now. And what's that make Undertaker? I'm trying to understand here, because I know they booked this match because John Cena's out, Randy Orton's out, our Lord and Savior Seth Rollins is out.
Hot fire god of all time.
People in the back, buy in, everybody, buy in.
And so now we have Shane McMahon versus Undertaker. Now Undertaker is. He's come back a few times, but now he's siding with Vince. So does that make him a bad guy, Tom? Does that make Undertaker the bad guy here?
Well, that's kind of the question we've all been sort of wondering. And they've done a very poor job of explaining that to the world, because really it kind of like, on one hand, it's obvious that Undertaker doesn't like Vince very much, because he also kind of attacks him and chokes him and is not kind to him. But on the other hand, he's willing to murder his son for him. So I think in this feud, there's no way that Shane McMahon isn't the face, but they haven't, and probably won't, solidify the Undertaker as a true, honest bad guy. They're just going to look at Vince as the ultimate bad guy, and just the Undertaker is just kind of, at this point, realistically doing his job, which is perform at WrestleMania. And he doesn't get to choose his opponent this year. He gets it chosen for him by the evil boss man, and he just is going to do what he has to do, which, again, that really kind of hurts the match for me, because, like I said, you can go back to the very first appearance of Shane McMahon on this, last month's post-Fastlane show. Everyone just, like, loses their minds as soon as he comes out and starts talking, and then once the match is announced, everyone's like, oh,
what?
That
yeah. What
happened? Okay. Like, really, just that being the stipulation and that being the announced match, you could tell that that didn't go over as well as just him existing and dancing. And they have not really justified the existence of this match in the continuing 4 weeks. It's just been, hey, Shane McMahon's back. You love him. Hey, the Undertaker's here. You also love him. Hey, look, Hell in a Cell, violence, hooray. Enjoy it. Buy our show.
And
that's kind of what it is.
And I'm excited about that. And Lord, if you listening, I want, if Undertaker gets in the ring and the match starts with Shane McMahon and Undertaker just lets Shane pin him in 10 seconds so Shane can gain control of Raw, we're going streaking. That's what's happening. It's going to happen. I want that to happen so badly.
The Undertaker would streak with you, but he can't do that anymore.
That's true. He can't. Damn it. but let's move on. Let's move on. Let's talk about Charlotte, the current champion, with her dad, Ric Flair. Woo!
Woo!
Versus Becky Lynch.
Charlotte. I adore her. You know, she's... You know, at first I was not too sure about her. Basically using her dad and stuff like that, but then I'm like, you know what, she's really making it her own, and he hasn't stolen the spotlight from her as far as walking her to the ring or anything like that. She's holding her own as a heel, doing her thing, and I love it.
It's totally her father too, but the match at WrestleMania right now is the triple threat match for the title, which is Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks is, of course, the favorite here. Charlotte has held the Divas Championship for a while. Tom, Angie, what do you think is going to happen? And what do you think will happen, you know, in like the month after Raw with this Divas title?
I think Charlotte's walking away with the title.
You think Sasha's going to take it away?
No, Charlotte. I think she's going to retain.
Wow, at WrestleMania, because she's held it for quite a bit.
So?
Yeah. Wow. I do want to echo and say that I do really like Charlotte, and I really do think that Flair has not taken any of her spotlight, which big kudos, big kudos.
That is good. He can.
That's amazing. And she's turned into a great heel. Given this is WrestleMania season and given that the faces pretty much always win, I feel like this is the time to put Sasha over big. It's who everyone wants. She's in the right place at the right time. She has all the things going for it. And she'd be huge leading into the summer, feuding against Charlotte. The bad thing about this match is that Becky Lynch is eternally the third wheel in every feud. And while she's very talented and has been booked very well, like, I really did enjoy her last feud with Charlotte. But the fact that she never really super cleanly lost a match, and the fact that they kind of injected Sasha so quickly really made the audience kind of like, oh, right, Becky, she's also here and also isn't terrible. But the story is really Sasha versus Charlotte, and if I were booking, I am not booking, but if I were booking, I would, on the day of WrestleMania, when all three entrances are, when all three competitors are in the ring, I would have Stephanie McMahon come out and say, we're continuing the Divas Revolution, and we're making this a fatal four-way, let me introduce the fourth competitor, and it's Bayley.
And ooh, a fatal four-way.
I think a fatal four-way between basically all of the former women's champions, except for Becky, who never really got there, but she was obviously a very instrumental part. Let's do that NXT four-way that almost won match of the year in 2014 or 2015. Let's do that in front of 100,000 people and show everybody that these women rule in the ring. And go ahead.
Fully, you know, already match of the night contender. This is one of the matches I am most excited to see, even more than the championship match, honestly. You know, I really don't care about Roman Reigns and Triple H right now. I want to watch this women's match.
We'll get there. Tom's favorite subject is Roman Reigns. So we'll get there, but I agree with you, Angie. This Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks match
is going to be awesome.
It's going to be badass. Do you think that there'll be any interference from, let's say, like Paige or anybody like that?
No, not from Paige, but I definitely see interference from Rick because, you know, Dirty's playing the game. Why not?
No.
I really think that'll be one of the biggest pops of the night is when Ric Flair goes to screw Sasha or Becky out of something, and the ref, hopefully it's Little Nate, gets to eject Big Nate, and having Ric Flair like do the walk of shame back to the back, that's going to be a huge pop because again, like Charlotte is, while she's been extremely hit or miss on the main roster, her work is always good, but sometimes her promos aren't there, and I'm not really sure why, because she definitely had it and had it locked down in NXT, but she's kind of been middle of the road a lot of times in the main roster. Rick's helped a lot, but people legitimately hate that he gets involved in these really competitive, really good matches, and I think getting him out of there at WrestleMania is going to be a huge moment for everybody, especially when they know that Sasha or Becky's going to come out on top because of that.
Well, he'll be there, but I was just going to ask, what do you think he'll do to interfere?
Anything and everything. It's Rick.
I hope so.
He kissed somebody. He throws his jacket. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a shoe thrown. Come on, it's Rick.
I hope so. I hope he does a strut, and I hope that he does. I know I post the video all the time, but like when he throws his shoes and he takes off his clothes and he struts in the ring and does the elbow. Oh, man.
I think what would make me mark out harder than almost anything at WrestleMania is that when Becky comes out and removes her entrance jacket, if Ric Flair drops a knee on it, I will lose my goddamn mind.
Oh, man.
All right.
I am so in. I am all the way in.
I'm picking Sasha for that match. I think she's the right choice. I think she's got the crowd behind her more than any other diva at the moment.
Woo!
And you can continue this three-way all the way to SummerSlam. But like I said, if it was up to me, I would have Asuka go over Bayley at NXT TakeOver in Dallas, and I would promote Bayley to the main roster at WrestleMania, not the day after. And I would really let the world know that she's something special, because that character is so dangerously in peril of not getting over on the main roster because of how precious it is and how naive the character is. It's very it would be very easy to push her into like a dunderhead role as opposed to a open, caring, always positive person. And I think if you give her the debut at WrestleMania, even if she doesn't win, if you give her the debut at WrestleMania and the first thing people see of her is how awesome she is in the ring, that's going to go a long way to getting that character over, because Bayley is the future of the women's division, and Bayley will probably sell as many t-shirts as John Cena does to little girls.
Yeah.
She is vitally important to that company, but they have to treat her right, and I think that's the way to do it.
I can't stand Bayley's character. It drives me nuts. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I like her work. She's amazing, but I cannot stand her character. I just want to slap her.
Clash of the Titans here. One loves, one hates. Wish I had it tattooed on my fists.
It's possibly because she is so positive, and I can't stand John Cena either. You know, I really want to slap that one. But I can't. There's just something about her I can't get behind, and I don't like her. Her work, love her in the ring, but no, I can't stand the ponytail. I can't stand the wristy slappy things. I can't stand the headbands. I'm like, stop hugging people, please.
That's why you're known as Angelic Heel. You're the heel. You like the bad guys.
Yeah.
Haystacks Calhoun out of nowhere. RKO. Moving on. Let's talk about this match. Let's talk about. I don't know why this match is happening. I mean, I'm glad it's happening, but the no-holds-barred street fight. There better be blood like I've never seen blood between Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar. There's no meaning to this match other than that just a little guy who's crazy goes after the biggest, baddest guy in wrestling. And
it's going to be match of the night. There's almost no way it can't be. There's never been a Brock Lesnar match where Brock Lesnar doesn't bleed. He bleeds like he breathes, basically, on those big matches.
That's true.
So it's gonna happen with weapons anyway. Dean Ambrose is the biggest face in the company, full stop. And it's because he has been booked perfectly as the guy who, no matter how hard you hit him, he will come back. Even if he's bandaged up, even if he has to be pushed to the ring on a gurney, he will still have his fists taped, and he will still fight you.
Yeah, he'll still get out.
And that's that. Really, the story going into this match has been the pure and simple best buildup. It is a miracle that they decided to not go with Bray Wyatt and go with Dean Ambrose instead. It's going to be a... to quote our favorite man, a slobber knocker, and it's going to be it's going to be awesome. There's going to be blood. There's going to be violence. Dean Ambrose is going to one night only become Jon Moxley again, and we're going to be acting
John
like
Jon Moxley.
Moxley. Like, oh my Jesus! Yeah, because you know I totally marked out when Foley was all like, take Brock down a journey into your past. And I'm like, oh, Brock does not want to go there.
So when they first announced this, I said, I tweeted, I did all this, like, this match will only make sense if it's a hardcore match. And, of course, you know, the week later, it's a no-holds-barred street fight. I wish they'd bring back the hardcore title, but I know they won't. But with this match, I really... Brock is so, so excellent at selling other people.
Yep.
I think... In this match, I really think that Dean Ambrose will almost get the win, but Paul Heyman will probably interfere in this. And that Paul Heyman hasn't interfered in a long time, but this could be it, though.
I actually don't think Paul Heyman will interfere. I think it is possible, however unlikely, that Dean will get the win simply because he won't stop fighting. He has all the weapons, blah, 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 blah. I really think the best case here. And we'll get into this more. I won't spoil my Well, you know what? Screw it. We'll go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
So I think Brock Lesnar is going to win this match because in my heart of hearts, I feel like and I hope that Dean is going to lose his match after a obvious grueling victory. And when Roman Reigns goes over Triple H, Dean Ambrose is going to come out to the ring to congratulate his brother after his, you know, brutally, he's still going to be bleeding. He's still going to be wrapped up. He's still going to drag his ass out there to tell his best friend that you did it. And I'm so happy for you. And Roman Reigns is going to spear the dick out of him.
And I think
that is what is going to end the night is basically the christening of Roman Reigns as your unbeatable champion and the christening of Dean Ambrose as the new underdog face of the company. I think that's how they're going to book it.
That would be the most awesome thing. Except for a minute there, I thought you were going to say, oh, Dean's going to turn on Roman. I'm like, I'm so sick of people saying that because that's what everybody expects.
No, I think that brings in the bigger point here with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, he's supposed to be the face of the company, and he's clearly not. People, WWE creative and Vince have force-fed us Roman for so long, and we're not buying it, and that's made us hate him. Other than the fact that I think he has talent. I think he needs a little work, but he needs to turn full-on bad guy right now. He needs to turn full-on bad guy and attack Dean Ambrose, side with Triple H, which will be weird because they have a match together.
I'm not even sure if he'll even side with Triple H. I don't even think he necessarily needs to side with Triple H. I think what he's going to understand is that he has won virtually every match that he's been in, and people just don't care. So he's just going to keep winning, but now he's going to beat up all the people that we love instead of him, and him being the, because I mean, let's face it, he basically beat Brock Lesnar last year at WrestleMania. It was more or less neck and neck, which no one's been able to do without using, you know, weapons or cheating or whatever. And he's beaten 4-on-1s. He has beaten two people at the same time. He's beaten Dean Ambrose countless times. He's beaten everybody, but people still don't care. And because of that, I feel like you could turn him into his own self-propelled hate machine and have him still hate Triple H and have him still hate Dean Ambrose and just be the guy who says, you know what? I'm champion now, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And I'm never letting go of this belt, and I'm going to make sure that my brother never gets a shot at this because he's going to be too busy picking his bones off the ground to get to get something going. And if you make Reigns the true, honest to God, unstoppable machine that is in it for himself and fuck everybody else, he is going to be so over as a bad guy, and in a year or a year and a half, when you're ready to finally give him a face run, he's going to be even more over because he will have gone through that dark side phase. That, to me, that has to be the ending of this WrestleMania. If it ends any other way, they are really, really, really running the risk of alienating a lot of people.
I 100 billion % agree on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anybody who wants to come to the dark side will take him.
I agree. Roman Reigns, I'll say this.
He's not allowed. Mm-hmm.
I hope they do it at WrestleMania. I hope that Roman Reigns turns heel at WrestleMania and not at Raw because it needs to be seen by everybody, and then that's when we will see his new pun intended reign of terror on everybody. And that's what we need. That's what the fans want, and that's what creative should definitely book him as, is because just like Tom said, it will make his face turn that much better down the road.
Because let's be honest, I actually don't know many people. I do know some. I don't know many people who are honestly opposed to the idea of Roman Reigns being the man and being the guy. This version of Roman Reigns sucks, and this version of Roman Reigns shouldn't be the guy. But I mean, again, you've got a 6'4", 265-pound, handsome-as-hell Prince Samoan who can beat up people. He can hang with Cesaro in the ring. He can make matches look good. He's got incredible explosive energy. The dude can perform, but they're not writing to his strengths, and they're not giving him anything interesting to do, so we're just rejecting it because Dean Ambrose is clearly better at this point in time.
Idea.
They've given him is, like you said, not right. When he was in the Shield, people were behind him because he was that dark, broody volcano who would beat your ass any time at the drop of the hair. But the character he is now, that's hidden. That's not part of what we're seeing. That's not what we get behind. He's very campy,
he's mundane. He's Bueller right now.
And we're being told that he, much like John Cena, is overcoming the odds when he is scripted to get every conceivable advantage and every conceivable break that he could that a wrestler could ever be given. You know, like, look at the last 2 months of booking. He's scheduled to defend his title against 29 other men, and he takes a 25-minute nap in the Royal Rumble.
Dude,
and then just comes back out completely rested. And then he gets beaten up by Triple H, beaten up because his nose got bloodied, and he's off TV for 4 weeks when his brother gets thrown through a windshield, literally crawls to the ring afterward, like almost legitimately on his hands and knees, crawls back into the ring and begs Brock Lesnar to hit him again. You are booking everyone else in the true underdog way, and you're just telling us that Reigns is the underdog overcoming the odds, but you're booking him in all of the most relaxing, easy peasy, nothing to worry about ways, and that's what's really got everyone on edge.
Yeah, he's the only man in wrestling
different than you're showing us.
Yeah, he's the only guy in wrestling who has a literal 20-minute smoke break in the middle of his match in the Royal Rumble. He really did. They built that pay-per-view around him, and he was gone for most of it, and he got beat, which he should have, because I'm glad Triple H won. We all saw that coming. But I would be happy, and it. You know what? I was going to bring that up. If Triple H wins, oh man, bring back a Lemmy hologram for WrestleMania. But if Triple H has finally started to wrestle each Raw now, he's wrestling, do you think that it's possible that he could retain the title because he's, like, wrestling more now? He's doing more promos. I don't know if he's, like, just practicing just for his WrestleMania match, but he might be practicing to, like, do the long run again.
Well, especially if Shane does win and take control of Raw, that would give Triple H still time in the spotlight and as a character, you know, and because if Shane wins, authority's gone.
I would hope so. It, my idea that just exploded in my head, The Rock, the jabroni beaten pie guy, he's gonna be there. And Roman Reigns and The Rock are related. What if Roman Reigns decides to turn heel on The Rock to make him the bad guy? Do you think that will happen?
I think it's possible, but the problem with that is that The Rock is then going to go away for 6 months, and who cares what happened to The Rock on one night? If he turns on his best friend and beats him up for the next 6 months, that's actually going to solidify his heel turn. Yeah, people love The Rock, and yes, if he beats him up, people are going to boo him. But there's nothing to follow up on, because The Rock is not going to be on Monday Night Raw to sell the injury. The Rock's not going to come back next month to continue to cut promos on how Roman Reigns smells like booty O's, because now he's an unofficial member of the New Day, because they're best friends now. I wouldn't put it past them, because he's obviously the most popular superstar in the entire world. But I think if you're gonna push something out for the long haul, you have to have him turn on someone who's gonna be there week after week after week after week to take the punishment. And when Dean Ambrose finally wins his first championship legitimately, and he wins it against his former best friend who won't stop kicking his ass, that is going to be the crowning achievement of a lifetime.
It, like you said, it just means more if he turns on Dean versus turns on The Rock. Because, like you said, The Rock's not going to be there day in and day out carrying the company anymore. He's done. He's a movie star. Dean Ambrose, on the other hand, he's there. He is the workhorse right now. People love him. And he's there no matter what.
I think Rome... I think that's how it's going to end, is Roman turns on Dean Ambrose, and Roman hopefully will shake hands with Triple H and be, like, the guy. I think that will make him the bad guy.
I don't think he's going to shake hands with Triple H, because I think the Authority is going to be out. As much as that pains me to say, I just love Shane McMahon more. Sorry.
Shane McMahon is not winning. Shane McMahon did not sign a long-term agreement. Shane McMahon is only here because John Cena is not here, and then Shane McMahon is fucking off back to China.
I
like Shane for the win on this one.
I have to interject here on Periscope. We have a lot some people following us. Mark Walters from Big Fanboy, bigfanboy.com. Also, our own wrestling writer, Steel Real to Me, Mike Pertil has joined, and he is just chanting Roman Reigns. He loves Roman Reigns. He's really happy right now. So
shout out to Roman fans.
Yeah, shout out to Roman Finn. We love you, Mike. We wish you were here and not in Los Angeles.
It still rains to me, damn it.
It still rains to me, damn it. So, I want to go back to this Dean Ambrose Brock Lesnar thing. You think Dean Ambrose is going to lose, or do you think Dean Ambrose is going to win?
I think Dean Ambrose is going to lose. I don't see a reason for him to. Dean Ambrose, because of the last 2 months booking, and honestly, it is only because of the last 2 months of booking, Dean Ambrose at this point is above losses to a certain extent. He can lose to as many people as he wants to, and people are not going to stop getting behind him because they have really effectively sealed him as the guy who will never give up. Even if he loses every match, he will still be in the next town the next night. Even if he has lost four fingers in the last fight, he's going to use his remaining six to win the next one, damn it. And that's the character. So a win would be awesome and people will pop for it. But also, I don't think there's anybody in that arena who will feel cheated if the face doesn't win against the insurmountable opponent. And again, if he loses, that gives another reason for Roman to kind of turn on him, because everyone loves you, Dean. They love you when you lost to Triple H. They love you when you lost to Brock Lesnar. They love you when you lost to Bray Wyatt. They love you when you lost to Chris Jericho.
And you know,
I've beaten all those men multiple times and no one gives a shit. So now it's my turn to make your life a living hell. It would be a great storyline kickoff for a reason for Roman Reigns to go on a heel rampage.
What about you, Andrew?
Why I think Dean is going to win, because they've set Brock up as this unbeatable monster. Who has beaten Brock Lesnar? Nobody. But if Dean can do it, and if Roman wins, this sets Dean up as a legit contender, especially if he goes on that I'm going to kick my best friend's ass kick. Because he's all like, all right, well, I beat this really, really tough guy that nobody could beat. Not even the Undertaker could beat this guy. And I beat him. Now,
that's true. That's true. Aha! Aha! Undertaker.
Technically, it was a weird double situation, but Undertaker does have a victory over Brock Lesnar by tapping him out at Night of Champions or whatever it was, or Survivor Series. No, it's Night of Champions. Doesn't matter. Yes, Brock Lesnar has lost to Triple H, to John Cena, to Undertaker all in the last 3 years. Granted, a lot of those matches had steel steps involved. There were no holds barred matches. And he's not unbeatable necessarily. But this incarnation is super overpowered. And like I said, I think it would be a good story either way. But personally, I think the drama of Roman versus Dean, if they really want to tap into the audience has latched onto Dean and is rejecting Roman. Roman wins all the time. Dean loses all the time. Dean got pinned at Fastlane. Dean got pinned at a Survivor Series. Roman's beat Dean. Every single time they fought, Roman's beat Dean. But the wins don't matter to the audience. They care about Dean, and that's going to be a dividing point to his future.
And that's what I wanted to ask Angie. With Roman Reigns turning heel, if that happens, do you think Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins coming back will be the new face and Roman Reigns will be the heel?
Actually, everybody assumes that Seth is going to come back as a face. Somebody, everybody assumes it. What if he doesn't? because he's still the man. He still never actually lost the title. He doesn't have to come back as a face in order to be a legit contender to Roman.
No, he doesn't. But I think Seth's personality upon his return is entirely dependent on how they book Roman. If they're committed stupidly and blindly to making Roman Reigns the face of the company and the never say die baby face, then Seth Rollins is going to remain a heel because he is natural at it and great at it. But I feel like his momentum was so strong, even though he was definitely a wuss character and a coward heel. When you're able to bust out Phoenix splashes and do Tanahashi's little neck breaker move?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
When you're basically the indie worker of the gods and you're just putting on the best show night after night after night, when he comes down and when he comes back, he is just naturally going to get a face reaction because that's generally what happens when people come back from a prolonged injury.
Totally
and
agree.
He's just so goddamn good. Even if he is a shitty coward heel, you can't argue with that ring work. And if Roman Reigns is out there being a bad guy, I can actually see Triple H being very happy that Seth is back, because then he's got his former boy, his former best guy out there, and then he can finally win one back for the Authority. Because I think the Authority will still not like Roman because he's doing whatever the hell he wants, and the Authority wants someone they can control. They'll bring Seth Rollins in as the guy they can control, and then Seth Rollins will defy their orders and just, again, go on his like high-flying streak. And I think you have a good tweener comeback for a face run down the line, and then you could just feud those Shield guys with each other forever, and people will still be into it.
They can't see Roman Reigns? And my
don't make me hate Roman.
Who knows if you will, but the last thing I want to bring up, and I want just one pick from each of you. There is the third annual 30-man Battle Royale Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy match. The first year we saw Cesaro won. My God, I want Cesaro back. Second year, Big Show won, which goes in line with the Andre. Who's going to win this year's Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale? Angie.
Ooh, why are you going to make me make decisions? I hate that.
Please say Chris Benoit. Please say Chris Benoit.
You know he's dead, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
Virgil wins. That's what Big Fanboy said.
Okay, if I had to pick, I would want to see somebody from NXT do it. Somebody who came up from NXT. So I want to say Sammy.
All right, Sami Zayn. That'd be pretty cool. All right, Tom, what do you think?
Bo Dallas, baby.
Okay. I totally forgot. We've got to talk about this. Oh my God, we got to talk about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas need to team up. Bray Wyatt can be the greatest face in the company. He's not a good heel. His brothers are. We need Bray Wyatt to be a face with Bo Dallas, and they can tag team it.
And the story writes itself because every single person in that arena throws up their cell phone whenever he comes out.
Yeah.
That is a face reaction. That is not a heel reaction. And all you have to do is say, for the last 3 years, I have focused on the darkness until the fireflies showed me the light. And now I am fighting for the good side. And he would be a perfect messianic good guy if they wanted to run him that way. Because, yeah, his family is the bad guys. And right now, that whole family is in this just nasty slump where they don't mean anything at the time. And they're not threatening. And they do the same shtick over and over again. He went from being one of the cornerstones of Monday Night Raw when he first debuted. He was so over. But they kept doing the thing where he would feud with the hottest babyface at the moment, and then inevitably, every single time, he would lose that feud. So over the course of 2 years, everyone just doesn't care that he's talking about taking down your gods and beating your favorites and spreading his message when every 3 months he takes a fucking clean pin. Mm-hmm. So he needs a change, and I'm not sure if he just needs to go away for a while and come back, go away for 5-6 months. Because apparently he's got back problems and a whole bunch of other stuff. If he went away and came back and just kind of maybe – and that actually wouldn't be a bad storyline. If Bray just disappeared and the storyline was where is Bray Wyatt, and now these three giant bearded lunatics don't have a leader, what are they going
to
do?
So I think Bray Wyatt – I think what needs to happen – I mean his back problems because he's crawling around like the Exorcist constantly. I think his brothers need to turn on him and beat him till he has to leave for a little while. He comes back as a face, and like Mike Pertil said, come back with Sister Abigail, whoever that may be.
I think that would be a great – and honestly, like, I mean, it would be great to let Braun and Luke and Eric kind of run roughshod and kind of be like a – slightly less intimidating four horsemen, like just a chaos, because now they don't have Bray to guide them. They're just big muscle-bound meatheads who want to inflict violence, and they don't have a guided path to do so. And if in 4 months' time, one by one, they just start ending up like taken out backstage with no real rhyme or reason, and then it turns out that Bray has returned and is killing his own creation because they've gone too far. That would be a great return for him, especially if he is led by a female valet or even a female wrestler if they want to promote someone like that. I think it would be a great way to handle him. But I think the biggest thing is the dude, at this point, he's overexposed because he has been doing the same thing exactly for 2.5-3 years now and has had no results from it. He's not beating anybody. He's not impacting any change. He's not truly a threat. So really, just let him go away and let him come back as a babyface.
Well, Angie, what were you saying?
He's not even really a contender for anything. Yeah, there was this hot moment when he kind of looked at Triple H and touched the title, and everybody kind of, popped at that. But so people want to see him do something, but he's not doing anything. Huh. I mean, he's kind of irrelevant.
That's why I hope he teams up with his real life brother Bo Dallas and does something. It would be so.
Bo Dallas isn't that relevant either, even though he's more relevant than Bray being part of the Social Outcasts.
Bo Dallas.
Hashtag Social Outcasts. But
to be honest, obviously Bo Dallas is not winning the 20-man battle royal, but I really think he could do wonders with a solid mid-card push. But that's the problem, is when you really asked us that, like, all the key contenders who would be in it are already in matches or are injured or are whatever. Like, this year would have been a great year for Cesaro to two-peat, or, like, repeat his victory and really solidify him as the king of the battle royal and someone who can't be messed with. And because, again, like, I love Cesaro. I really do love Cesaro. He's awesome, and I'd love to see him be world champion. But he has enough going against him that I'm not sure that's ever going to happen. So if he just had a solid Intercontinental/US title run and was just dominant in that way, I think he'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with that. And I think if he was able to solidify his greatness in the mid-card, that's a step forward from what he is now. But, I mean, honestly, I can't think of anybody who should or could win that match because it seems like – this would be a time to maybe pull AJ Styles, but AJ has a match with Jericho, which is going to be great, by the way.
Right, I agree.
It really is hard for me to put my finger on somebody who could win it. I actually would not be opposed to piggyback off what Angie said. This might not be a bad time or a bad place to bring Baron Corbin up and let Baron Corbin take some motherfuckers out.
That would be badass if Baron Corbin won this. I mean, I know a lot of people like him. They've been trying to get him out there. That would be badass. I mean, my heart and my crotch say Kurt Angle comes back to win it, but he won't. But my mind, I'm going to go with Angie's thing. I think the Baron Corbin NXT person should definitely do it.
I think
Well, that's the thing is there was actually a thread on Reddit two days ago that said that if the armbar, the Andrei Rumanov Memorial Battle Royal, in case you're not into acronyms, if it ends up being a 30-man battle royal, they legitimately do not have enough people on the roster to fill a 30-man battle royal. And that's – so, like, if they go to 20, that's fine. But even with those 20, it really would be, like, the bottom of the barrel, bottom of the barrel. And unless you're going to do, like, Gold Dust or Stardust or something like that, I really think that – this is the time to bring up an NXT guy, and given that Baron Corbin's gimmick is hating everyone who's good at wrestling, I really think that would be a great debut for him. Is to show up and just trounce people out of that match, and sure, like, he might not get an immediate title shot, but that would get him noticed, and it would give him a reason to exist in the main roster, and it would give him like a BS title only, you know, award or accomplishment that he could milk forever.
Yeah. So in closing with my pick, I think it would be awesome to see Goldust or R-Truth finally be Penguins forever and win it, but it's not going to happen. But I just want to – let's wrap this up. We covered Raw. We covered WrestleMania. We covered some stuff that's going past WrestleMania. I think this – we'll see what happens next Monday. Well, we might come back with a podcast next week to see how the storylines have furthered. And I want to thank Tom and Angie for joining us. Thank you so much, guys.
It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
And I'd like to thank to everybody on Periscope, big fanboy, Mike Pertil, Scott, the rest of you. That'd be awesome. And find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're the Multimedia Men, the WWE podcast. That's not booty. And let's all do our Daniel Bryan chant. Yes. No. Yes.
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 Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.